I know it happened. I know we did that stuff, so it was a lot of fun. There were three guys got married, and three young guys got married. One guy, he was from Alabama. Another guy was from Ohio. The other guy was from Delaware. And the first man got up, and they were bragging about how they, you know, treated their young wives. And it said, the first man got up and said, I married a woman from Alabama. And he bragged about how he told her that she's going to keep the house clean, come and wash the dishes. She's going to, you know, do all the things in the house, take care of everything. And he said that it took a couple of days, and that on the third day he came home, house was clean, dishes were all done, and you know, what a blessing. The second guy from Ohio, he said, yeah, same thing, I did the same thing. He bragged about it. He said, man, I come home, I told my wife, you're going to keep the house clean, you're going to keep the dishes clean, you're going to keep all this stuff clean. I like a clean house, I'll tell you that. And he told her, you know, and he said, after a couple of days, he said, man, I come home, and there was all done, everything was done the way I like it. And the third man was from Delaware. He boasted that he told his wife her duties and how to keep the house clean and dishes washed, the lawn mowed, laundry washed, and hot meals on the table every time. And he said about the first day he didn't see anything. The second day he didn't see anything. But the third day, most of the swelling that had gone down around his eyes, he could see a little bit. Oh, man. What a thing. What a thing. I want to honor my brother from the military, 173rd Airborne Recon. Amen. What a blessing. It's an honor to be in the same room with him. My brother. I was down in California. There was a guy, Navy SEAL, in there. I went over and shook his hand. He said, how do you know I was a Navy SEAL? I said, the pastor told me. And he didn't want nobody to know. But I appreciate men that's willing to hazard their life for this country. I appreciate it. Thank you. I want to preach this morning on three chairs. So what's that? Well, you'll see. You'll see. I'm going to mess up everything here. Here, there. I'll put one there. Hey, man. These things don't come apart that easy. Got one right here in the middle. I guess I can try this one. See what happens. Oh, that one, no. There we go. That's another book. Put that one right there. Three chairs. And take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Amen. It's good to be here. I thank you for hospitality. I thank you for all the hotel. Thank you for everything. I wish I could have brought my wife. I said that. I wish she was here. I wish I could have brought all my family. They were here. I wish I could have brought my grandkids. I want everybody. Wherever I go somewhere, I want everybody to go. My wife, she's not that way. She said, well, can't we go alone one time without nobody? And I went to North Carolina. I was going down. I said, okay, we'll go this time with nobody. So we drove to North Carolina. I stopped at the church, and the guy said, will you preach? I said, oh, yeah, I'll preach. It was a Wednesday night, and a guy walks up to me and said, can you take this boy with you? My wife's in the background. And he's 16. He wanted to go see what the Bible school was like. And anyway, I said, well, yeah, okay, we'll take him. Before that weekend was over, I had three other people in the vehicle with us. But I like to take everybody with us. I like to be around folks. I like people. I just like them. And, boy, it's just a blessing. But I appreciate Brother Mike. I appreciate this church. This is the first time I've ever been to Northwest. I've been to California, but I've never been up to Northwest. And it's different, definitely different up here. But I appreciate, I appreciate Bible believers. I appreciate y'all having church here. What a blessing. And, it's just a honor to be here. It really is. It's an honor for me to be here and be able to, serve with my brother here. Amen. Just to preach a little bit. And then Aaron, I've known Aaron's dad and family That's Aaron, right? Yeah. I've known his family for a long time. And boy, what a blessing that is to see him serving the Lord. I told the kids this morning in Sunday school, I said, man, they're my heroes. Those kids there that's trying to live for God and with all the opposition, all the things going on in this world, and they're in church, they're still doing right and wanting to do right in their hearts. Their hearts, they want to serve God, and that's a blessing. They're my heroes. And I'm going to preach on three chairs this morning. These chairs represent some things. This chair right here represents God. This right here represents God. This is God. All about God. This chair right here represents God and me. God and me. Some guy wrote a song, you know, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus. I hate that song. And it ain't me and Jesus. It's Jesus. It's yielding to Him. And this chair right here, it represents, it's just ungodliness or conflict. This chair right here represents carnality. But this chair right over here represents, you know, putting the Lord first in all things and God having the preeminence in my life. And I want to ask you this morning while we're preaching this message, I want to see what chair are you sitting in? This chair right here represents God. This represents carnality. This represents me and Jesus. And when things go wrong, it's just me. Get rid of God. And this chair over here represents, man, just conflict, you know, nothing about God. And that's where we're at right there. It takes three generations. We're in America. America was founded on the Word of God. Amen. Our schools, Harvard, Princeton, most people don't know this. Harvard, Princeton, you know, great schools that everybody wants to go to. They, you know, they brag about their kids. Oh, my child went to Harvard. My child went to Princeton. They were, most people don't know this, but those schools were started to train young men the Word of God. Now you couldn't find God in there with a flashlight. And they're protesting on the school grounds now against Israel, against God, against the Bible. They're protesting. They're just anti-God, anti-everything. And, you know, you try to witness to people. At the motel, I try to give her a tract, and she goes, well, we don't want that. We don't need that. I said, well, you need God. Amen. You definitely need God. And a lot of people say, I don't need God. I tell you what, my family needed God. My dad taught me how to drink, and I mean, he put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby, and I grew up, I started stealing Colt 45 trucks and all kinds of stuff, and started drinking like a crazy wild man, doing drugs, and my father would, I told y'all the other night, if I didn't work, my father would beat us. I mean, he was from West Virginia, or Virginia, my mother's from North Carolina, my father carried a water hose down his pants. And he had a water hose. You kids think you got a rub. My father, if you didn't work, he'd take that hose out and beat you with it. And, man, I remember going to school, got whelps across my neck, across my back, across my face. I deserved it. I really did. I deserved it. But I tell you what, that wasn't the right. I made up my mind I wasn't going to raise my kids like that. I wasn't going to raise my kids the way I was raised. And my older brother went to Vietnam. He hated my father. He joined the military, he went farther as he could go, farther, and there's a brother sitting here from the Green Beret. My brother wanted, he was already, approved to go into the Green Beret, and, he was a killing machine. And all he wanted to do is kill, he hated my father. And I mean, tell you, man, I'm not saying this brother went in the Green Beret because he hated his father. Evidently, he followed his dad's footsteps and being a military man, and that's a great honor. Great honor. But my brother went in, and he come back, and he was court-martialed coming out of Vietnam for butchering people. He sent a set of ears home to my mother, and he was, you know, doing all that crazy stuff. I wanted to be just like my brother, so he's writing home all his escapades, what he was doing. I was doing stuff on the street. I mean, I had a street gang, got into drugs and drinking and carrying on. I'll never forget, I was double parked in front of a store one night. I was riding with this guy named Pinky. This guy was nuts. I was at 14, 13 years old. I'm carrying a sawed-off shotgun. And I remember Pinky opened up that back trunk of his 56 Chevy. And he opened the trunk. He had drugs in there. He had guns. He had all that stuff in there. And I'm supposed to cover him at 13 years old. That's the way I grew up. And man, I wondered if my brother got killed. When he got killed in 1972, I went outside. My older brother, he was named Homer Irving Ryman. And Homer would try to read the Bible. My father didn't believe in education. We had to work. And I still work. I'm not mad about that. I'm not mad about it at all. But I didn't learn how to read. And when I got to high school, or, you know, junior high, I never made it to high school. I got kicked out of eighth grade. And I never made it up there to that any high school or anything like that. I couldn't read. And my father, we just went to work. I got my license when I was 14 and had 68 points on my license by the time I was 16. And my father, you know, I was dodging the draft and the FBI was looking for me for that and all that kind of stuff. I mean, because I was just in the world, man. I grew up in D.C. area. And boy, I went outside when my brother got killed. A trash truck ran over his head and killed him. My daddy was a trash man. And I tell you this, being a trash man's son, there's a lot of benefits. You get all you can eat and all that stuff all the time. Yeah. I'll never forget, folks, I'll never forget when my dad was a trash man growing up. I mean, we picked up trash, and I hear people say, that's a trash man. That's a trash man's son. And boy, it kind of irritated me a little bit. But as I grew up, and you know, even right now, I love trash trucks. I mean, I ride down the road, I see a trash truck go by, I say to my wife, look at that one, look at that one. That's nice, ain't that? Look at that. I love that trash truck, man. What a blessing. I even thought about starting a trash business. I've thought about that. But, man, but my dad taught me how to work, but he was hard. He was a hard man. And after I got saved, my dad got saved. And my dad got saved, and he apologized to me. Riding down the road one day in his old dump truck. I still got his old dump truck sitting in my house. My dad smoked King Edward cigars. He always smoked them cigars. And my little boy, I raised my son different. Samson, he's preaching right now. Actually, not right now. He's probably already finished. He's preaching in Kentucky, and my son-in-law just finished preaching in Delaware, and then my grandson was preaching in Kentucky, and then my other son's preaching in Pennsylvania today. Amen. What a blessing, man. Amen. What a blessing. I'm a blessed man. But, man, this chair right here represents God. And this chair right here, man, represents lukewarmness or carnality. This chair over here represents the worldliness, just the world. It only takes three generations to get away from God. But man, growing up like that and living like that, I remember when my brother got killed. My brother got ran over by a trash truck. My brother's, my truck, he ran over his head and killed him. The day he got killed, I went outside. I said, God, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. I was cursing God. I got worse. I ended up in prison at 18 years old, Baltimore Penitentiary. And but God changed my life. But right before I got saved, I mean, before I went to prison, I got saved. And man, God knew if I didn't get saved, I'd been dead. I've had five guns put to my head. I've hit five telephone poles. So many things that come up in my life, and that all I was just crazy. I mean, I just went wild and didn't care. I thought, man, there ain't no God. And then I said, I used to say this. I'm going to go to hell and take over one day. And the night I got saved, the former president of Hell's Angels was waiting on me, and I was punching my cross in the mouth. And the guy that was a friend of mine, and I didn't know him that well. He'd come by and he started befriending me. And he asked me, as he went through third gear, I was cussing at him. We was leaving a parole meeting because the cops were looking for me. And he hit third gear and he said, you want to go to a revival meeting? And I've said this the other night. I said, what in the world is that? I didn't know what a revival meeting was. That's what we just had, a revival meeting, a conference, Bible conference. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know none of that stuff. And I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know nothing. My brother would ask me to read the Bible to him. I couldn't read. My brother couldn't read. And I'd mock God and make fun of God and all kinds of stuff. But when my brother got killed in 1972, September 2nd, I'll never forget that day. I can still see it in my mind. I remember saying, God, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. And I meant it with all my heart. If God, if you're up there and you care. My family was a wreck. My family was in shambles. And man, I watched my dad and mom go through all that they went through. But, you know, my dad got saved after I did. My mother got saved after I did. They couldn't believe what happened in my life. My mother used to beg my brother that got killed to say, you follow your brother. He's going to end up dead. I had a gang of guys to do anything I told them. And, man, we'd go out on the street and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But, man, here in the Bible, look in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua, he was the one that took over for Moses. And I tell you what, Joshua was a great man in the Bible. Yeah. I love Joshua. I love to read about Joshua. But Joshua, man, he was a man of God. And man, Joshua takes over, and he says this at the end of his life. And you know, folks, I've been beside the bed of many people dying. I preached hundreds of funerals. I had a lady one time. They called me up. They said, preacher, if you want to see Miss Virginia alive again, you better come on right now. And I mean, I jumped in the vehicle and drove over to see Miss Virginia. And I got in there. She lived in a little old single wide trailer. Man, it had holes in the roof. And man, when I went to the house, I had to push the door open because it was warped. And they had buckets inside that house, catching the rain. I thought, if I knew that she was living like this, I would have done something. I would have done something to help her. I didn't know it. And man, I go in the house and they got a hospital bed sitting in the front living room, and all the kids were in the kitchen, the family members and all that. I remember sitting down next to Miss Virginia, and I said, Miss Virginia, and I thought to myself, what a stupid thing to say. I went, Miss Virginia, how you doing? I thought, oh, God, what did I say that for? I was kicking myself. And that woman was laying there on that bed. Hospice was there. She said, I'm doing fine, preacher. Amen. And I looked at her and I said, and before I could say anything else, she said, and the family was in the kitchen looking at me. And before I could say anything else, I said, I was getting ready to say something to her. And she goes, did you hear? I said, hear what? She said, I'm going home today. Amen. And I went, Miss Virginia, you are home. She's no preacher. No, no. She said, I'm going home today. Amen. And man, I started crying. And I said, how do you know? She said, Jesus came by a little while ago and told me. And I said, Jesus was here. And all the family was in the room like, she's nuts. They were looking at her like, she's crazy. I said, Miss Virginia, I'm crying. I said, Miss Virginia, I said, will you do me a favor when you see Jesus again? And she said, what's that? I said, tell him I love him. And I'm trying my best to serve him. And she grabbed my hand. She said, yeah, preacher, she knows. He knows. He knows. I left that house. I went down the road a little ways. They called me. They said, she's gone. What a way, man. What a thing. You know what Miss Virginia did? She was sitting in this chair. She was sitting right here. It's all about God. You know what Joshua talks about in the end of his life? He says this. Look at this. Joshua chapter 24 and look at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day who you'll serve. You got to make a choice. I made my choice. I made my choice. I'm going to serve God. I told you, I wasn't raised in church. I couldn't even read the Bible. My wife taught me how to read the Bible. I learned how to read. I didn't quit. I wanted to learn. And my wife taught me that. Now, man, what a blessing that is to learn to read the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God every day, shame on you. If you're not reading the Word of God. He says, it seemed evil to you, serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And then go down to about verse 16, he says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us out, brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And man, God, I know about the house of bondage. I was in there. And Joshua says, then he goes over, look down at verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of so on. And then verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So who's these elders? Now, you know the generation that Joshua's generation died off. They died off because they couldn't go into the promised land. That was the second generation. And that second generation, and then they died, you know, and they died too. But the Bible says this, look at this. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. I mean, they served God for the two generations. Two generations. And then the Bible says, look over in Judges chapter 1. Look in Judges chapter 1. Look there. Judges chapter 1, and look at verse, where is it? Got it in my Bible here. Look at verse 7. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And it says in verse 7, And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And then the Bible says in verse 10, and that's where I want to get to, and also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I mean, man, it only three generations, from Joshua to the elders to the judges, it says, then there arose another generation that didn't even know God. Somebody dropped the ball, man. Somebody didn't do their job. Somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. Joshua, man, he's seen God, the sun stand still. I mean, Joshua was such a man of God that, man, he was out there and he was getting ready. He was in the promised land going through Canaan and he saw a guy. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 5, he saw a man standing over there and he said he had a sword in his hand. Joshua walks over to him and pulls the sword and says, hey, whose side are you on? Yeah. And the guy says, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Take your shoes off. I was, the Lord showed up. He was getting ready to take on, man, take on the Lord, man. He said, whose side are you on? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. He said, take off your shoes. And Joshua fell down and worshiped God. You know what Joshua did? I mean, Joshua seen the great thing. He seen the Red Sea open up. They say that's where bug-eyed catfish came from, right, from seeing that. The catfish up there looking at that thing going, my God, what is happening here? Man. Man, what a thing. I mean, Joshua seen all the great miracles of God. And the elders, they were the young men. It's like Brother David and like Brother Sherry. They're the younger man, the Joshua, the next generation. Man, they've seen the works of God. They're serving God. Well, what a blessing that is. But the Bible says there arose another generation that didn't know God. What a shame. Somebody didn't do their job, or somebody was hypocritical. I mean, Joshua wasn't hypocritical. He was the same at home as he was at church. I mean, he wasn't a hypocrite. I've seen a lot of hypocrites, man. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You say, have you been a hypocrite at times? I have been a hypocrite at times. And there's times where I slip from this chair. I want to be in that chair all the time. I want to sit right here. I want God to be everything in my life. I want God, everything. God control everything. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want God to control everything. I want the Lord to run my life. I want him to run my children. I want him to do everything that needs to be done in my life. I want to trust him with all my heart. Amen. Bible says, you know the Bible, first commandment, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. You say, that can't be done. If it's put down in the Word of God, it can be done if the Bible says you can do it. Amen. They said, what's the first and greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength. You can do it. Amen. You say, David did. David did it. I mean, man, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Joshua sat in this chair. God was everything to him. Then there came another generation that didn't know God. My. Over here, came all the way over here, three generations. So how long did that take? Just a few years. Where's America? Where's America at right now? I mean, we're looking at the news and seeing all the stuff going on. Where we go, what in the world happened, man? What in the world going on? This is another generation that's going crazy. That's why I say to these kids, man, you're my heroes. You're still in church serving God. Man, what a blessing that is. Man, there's it out there in the world, man, that they're just trying to take this country to the bottom. My Lord. I told the church the other night, I witnessed to Joe Biden. I told Joe Biden he was going to go to hell if he didn't get saved. I got a senator that comes to our church. And he's a state senator. And man, I tell you what, I want to see more men that love God and stand up for God. That this guy, I understand, that's in the Congress now. He's the Speaker of the House, I guess. I understand he's a Christian. I think he is. But man, I tell you what, our country is going from there. I mean, where God was in control of everything. Then we got to kick God out of school. We kick God out of everything. Just kick him out. And now we're over here. We got to have police and we have to have security. We got to have metal detectors and all that stuff. Why? There was a generation that didn't know God. That's where we're at. But you know what? You know, for us as a church, as a Christians, man, we don't have to go that way. We don't have to follow that pattern. The world's got that pattern going on, but we don't have to follow that pattern. I mean, all the way through your Bible, you'll find that three-generation deal. You'll find, man, over in the book of Genesis, if you've got your Bible to in Genesis chapter 12, look at this, Genesis chapter 12. Look at what the Bible says about Abraham. Abraham was one of those guys that loved God. He was called a friend of God. Abraham put God first. And when it came down to where the Lord said, I'm going to try Abraham. I'm going to see what he's made of. And God already knew what he was made of. God knew it. And God wanted to write that down in the Word of God. And man, Abraham comes along, and look what the Bible says. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He said, get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And curse thee, that's Israel. You know that's Israel. And Abraham, he didn't know, God didn't give him directions. He didn't have Google. He didn't have, you know, maps and all that stuff. And God said, wherever your foot touches the ground is going to be yours. And Abraham, why he was such a great man of God, why he sat in that chair, it was God, everything. And man, Abraham negotiated with God. And the Bible says he was a friend of God. And it came down to where Abraham said, Lord, I'll just follow you. And the Lord said, wherever your feet touch the ground, it's going to be yours. He said, yes, sir, I believe you. He said, look at them stars up there, Abraham. You see that? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to make your seed like them stars in heaven. And he says, yes, sir, I believe you. He said, look at that sand down there. Abraham, you believe that I can make your seed like that sand in the sea? And he said, yes, sir, I believe it. Abraham just believed God. Abraham sat right here. It was God, God, God. God first. God first. Most Christians don't live that way. Most Christians don't put God first. When it comes down, push comes to shove, if it's God, if something's going on, and it's God and me, I'll use God when I need Him. And that's it. But when I don't like what God says, or God wants me of me, I'll just dump Him. And you know what you're doing? You're creating this generation right here. You just created another generation over here. That generation looks at this, that generation looks at that chair right there and looks at that crowd right there and goes, what a hypocrite. I don't want nothing to do with what they got. I don't want nothing to do with them. This morning, let me tell you, what chair are you sitting in? Where are you at? What are you creating in your life? What are you passing down? What heritage are you passing down to the next generation? I want to help the next generation to live for God. I want to help the generation after that. If the Lord tarries, I want to see the next generation after that serve God. With my family, that is. Something I have control of. Something that I can do with. But man, Abraham was, okay, Lord. God says, Abraham, I got something for you. He said, what's that, Lord? He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him up to Mount Moriah. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know what God was showing? He was showing to Abraham what God was going to have to go through with his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Abraham said, okay, Lord. I don't think Abraham was in a hurry to get there either. The Bible says Isaac said to his father, he said, Dad, he said, here's the wood and there's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And he said, son, God will provide himself. That's a prophecy. Amen. A sacrifice. You know, God will put that down in the Word of God so you could see it, show you what the heart of God. Amen. God allowed his son. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was crucified, he turned his back on his own son. When Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his own son, God said, Abraham, all right, hold. I know you love me. God's going to try you with what you really love. He's going to try you. I'm not saying he's going to tell you to take your son up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your son. I'm not saying, but he's going to try you. You know, a lot of people won't serve God because of their family. They won't serve God because of the children. And the children sometimes lead the parents away from God. My Lord, man. God's going to try you. The Bible says that, you're going to be tried as a child of God. And I'll tell you what, you got to make up your mind. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to move. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to be in the Bible. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be witnessing. I'm going to stand for God no matter what. Amen. I'm going to stand for God. Abraham did that. You know what God did? God said, Abraham, hold it. And he said, there's a ram over in the thicket. Go get it. Isaac comes along. Isaac comes along. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 26, for time's sake, I'm not going to go there. But in Genesis 26, Isaac, what Abraham does, I have to point out, in chapter 12, Abraham, when he gets to the place, whenever he stopped, and God said, okay, stop right here, Abraham builds an altar and worships God. You say, my brother gave a good illustration the other night about the altar. I believe in the altar. This altar has come down, and it's for sacrifice. And Lord, get a hold of my heart. God, deal with me. And God, thank you for your mercy. And as the altar has come down, it's humbling yourself before God as a sacrifice. Because the Bible tells us, as Christians, it says, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what most Christians got to do? You got to get your mind right. I preach a message called, it's all in your head, man. It's all in your head. The problem is in your head. And the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Most Christians ain't right in their head when it comes to God. They think God's just something that we can, like a genie. Whenever I want something, I rub the little bottle, and God's going to give me what I want. No, that ain't the way it works, man. That ain't the way it works. He already sacrificed for you. He's already paid your sin debt. He's already bought you with a price. He paid that sin debt. You say, man, I just don't know if I want to do that, commit to God. Well, you're going to be ashamed before you stand before Him. You know what the Lord said? He said in Matthew chapter 10, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. I want the Lord to say, that boy's crazy, but I'll tell you what, he's not very smart, but he's got some guts. He'll stand for me. Man, this only takes three generations to get away from God. Where are you at? What chair are you sitting in? So, well, if you're not here, then what? You're in these last two somewhere. If it's God and me, it's carnality. You know what they talk about carnality? You know, they have carnivals. That's where I met my wife, at a carnival. She was my girlfriend. I mean, she hates for me to say this. Now, she's not watching, so I can say it. She was 14 years old. I was 14 years old riding a bicycle. I was in the gang, and I remember riding by. I rode around her. I said, hey, baby, what's happening? Hey, baby. I talked all kinds of trash. She was wearing hot pants and a halter top. And I said, hey, baby. And she said, don't ever say that. Man, she turns beet red, and she just gives I was preaching somewhere, and she said, please don't say that. I said, okay, I won't. But she's not here. I can say it. And I remember I pulled up 2 days or a week later. I pulled up in a 67 GTO. I got my license when I was 14. I pulled up in a 67 GTO, and she got in. She never got out after that. 67 goat. That was a call, goat. But, man, Abraham believed God. And, man, he built an altar. First place that he does, he builds him an altar. What chair are you in this morning? You know what Isaac does? Isaac's the next generation comes along. Isaac comes along. You know what he does? He's in the same situation as Abraham, but the first thing he does when he gets to a place, he digs a well. He's going to take care of him. And what he does, again, if you read Genesis 26, and he loses that well, they take it away from him. Anything that you don't put, give it to God, you're going to lose it. You'll lose it. You think, I'm going to leave something behind for your kids. They'll be fighting over it. I preach a lot of funerals. I tell people all the time at funerals, don't you be fighting over this junk. It's just a bunch of junk. Amen. Hey, where's the boy? Where's the boys at? Hey, brother. What did I say? Stand up and say something.
Amen.
Amen. Fight over that junk. And Abraham, man, believed God. Isaac comes along, he digs a well first. Guess what? You read Genesis 26, he digs another well, he loses it. He digs another well, he loses it. And then he finally gets smart, and he builds an altar and worships God, and then he digs a well, and he gets to keep it. Hey, man, anything that you don't put God first in the thing, you're going to lose it. The Bible says, lay not for yourself up treasures upon the earth. Man, what people do, they think, there was a sign on the back of the cars that said, he that dies with the most wins. That's a lie.
Amen.
You never see a U-Haul fall in the casket or a hearse going down the road. You never see that junk. You don't see guys, you know, towing, you having a U-Haul with a boat on the back. You don't see that mess. I preach a lot of funerals, folks. I've seen people fighting over stuff, all kinds of crazy stuff. But you don't see that. The only thing that you're going to take with you is what you send ahead.
Amen.
Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
You're not going to keep what down here. You're not going to keep it.
No.
And when you stand before you say, well, I'm saved, that's all I care about. All I care is about having a little cottage up in heaven. No, you won't. You'll say, man, my God, Lord, give me another chance, God. I'll go back down, and I'll change everything. No, you only got one chance.
Amen.
You got one opportunity. Only what's done for Christ will last. Isaac says, all right, I'm learning. Isaac says, I'll learn. But you know what Isaac does? He raised a son, and that boy was called Jacob. And Jacob was called a supplanter. That dude was a con man. He was always trying to figure out a way to angle and all that stuff, and he was a con man. And he didn't know God until he ran into God in Bethel. El Bethel. That's when he ran into God. So three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It takes three generations. You say, can this generation get saved and move over here? Yes, they can.
Amen.
I got kids. I got almost 20 grandkids. I want all my grandkids to sit right here.
Amen.
I want all my, I don't want them here. I tell you what, I feel like I'd be a failure if those kids sat here. I feel like even more of a failure if my kids, I tell my kids, I don't care about you going to college. I don't care about none of that stuff. I don't care about college. Why? You're going to go to school, learn about that there is no God and all kinds of crazy stuff? Get smoking dope and all that? You say, how you know that? Because I used to hang around the colleges to get drugs, man, and deal drugs. I used to hang around the college, Maryland Terps, you know. I hung around that place drinking and partying. That's all they did, party. I said, I don't care about them kids going. You know, people spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for a kid to go to college, and they end up coming out atheists.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bunch of idiots. Yeah. Educated idiots. That's what they are.
Right.
I've dealt with people from the college. Man, they you know, they believe in evolution. I said, Eden, you know what? If you, it takes more faith to believe that,
yeah,
than that God said, you know, let there be light. It takes more faith to believe. I mean, think about it, man. Think about it. Okay, the earth, I asked these college students, this is their mentality. I said, all right, how did the earth get here? And they said, well, see, it was the sun, it slung off the sun. I said, the sun is a ball of fire. They said, yeah, the earth slung off the sun. And it went through space, and it molded itself. And it turned. I said, man, you must be smoking something, brother. You got to be smoking. I mean, I was smoking dope and I was doing drugs. I said, that is so far-fetched. It's like, wow, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Ooh. And the earth, I said, I got eighth grade education, man, but I ain't that stupid. And he said, that's earth. I said, where did all the water come from? The earth got two-thirds water on it. He said, well, as it slung through space, it molded itself and it picked up condensation. I said, where did condensation come from? Well, it just picked it up. I said, you believe it? We came from amoeba, huh? He said, oh, yeah, man. I said, where'd the amoeba? If the earth, I mean, if the earth slung off the sun as fire, nothing could live in the fire. How did it happen? Well, there was an amoeba that, I said, what, did he just pop up? After millions and millions of years, man, and, you know, the earth, you know, slung through the space, and then it got condensation and two-thirds water, and then in the water, this little amoeba. And I said, so the amoeba was floating around for millions of years, yeah, man, until it met a female amoeba that passed by and went, wow, baby, let's get together. And all of a sudden, this amoebas had more baby amoebas. And then this baby's amoeba, then all of a sudden they started growing these little fins, and they started getting where they became fish. And then all of a sudden they fell up on the shore and they grew some legs. I said, my God, man, that takes a lot of faith to believe that, John. It takes a lot more faith than what I, you know. My, that takes a lot. I said, you're nuts. You're going to go to school to learn that? My Lord, where you can say, you know, here's what God said. God said, I believe what God said.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What chair are you sitting in? What chair are you in? You know, here's another thing. Anthony Fauci, he said, trust the science. We had services no matter what. I had this governor's office call our church. They said, we've been watching you online. Somebody turned us in. We had church service, and the choir was up there singing, and the choir was singing and everything. And they said, the lady says, she said, you know, you're violating the code of Delaware. I said, no, I'm not. It ain't a code. I got a senator that comes here. And I said, he comes in. He said, this is a breath of fresh air coming in here. And you don't wear no, we didn't have nobody wearing no mask. I said, if we had it on the door. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. This senator, the first time he came to our church, a guy was at the door, like a young guy standing at the door. The young guy was standing at the door, and he opened the door for him, and he says, do I have to wear a mask? And the young guy says, as long as the government doesn't show up, we're all right. And the senator, his name is Lawson, Senator Lawson. I just prayed with him this week. I prayed with him. And he said, I am from the government. And the boy that was standing at the door, he goes, oh, shoot. So I'm up at the pulpit, and one of the guys came up and whispered in my ear, says, Senator Lawson's here. And I went, okay, he can have a seat. So he's sitting over here, and I'm just no lie, this happened now. And he's sitting over there, and I said, Senator Lawson, you here? And then he said, he raised his hand. I said, you want to say something? He said, yes, sir. So he started walking to the front, and I went, wait a minute. I made this mistake before because I had a Democrat there. I didn't know the guy was a Democrat. And I said, he was walking down the aisle. I mean, he come down the side here. I said, wait a minute. I said, if you're a Democrat, just sit down and shut up. We don't want to hear nothing you got to say. And he said, he yelled out. He said, I love this place. I said, and then I sat down. I said, give us a testimony how you got saved. I didn't know if the guy was saved or not. He got up. He said, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And he started telling me he was a Marine in Vietnam. He come back to Delaware, became a state trooper, and then he became a senator. The Delaware Senate, the lieutenant governor wrote me a letter, asked me to come pray over the Senate. And I went down to the Senate, and I told that story the other night, I think here, I don't know where I told it, but I told the story. And I said, man, I went in there, and the lieutenant governor's little girl, the secretary, was showing me around, and I sat in the Senate chambers, and right as they were starting the Senate chambers, and they said, you wanted me to pray over it. I said to the little girl, I said, hey, I was witnessing to her, I said, hey, you think they can take preaching? And she said, what are you planning on doing? I said, I'm going to stand up in here and preach to them. She goes, oh, please, please, don't do that. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. And Senator Lawson, I preached while I prayed. Senator Lawson said, he got up and he said, I remember your pastor. He said, he came and prayed over the Senate. He said, they talked about him for 2 weeks. And I'm going to tell you something. He said, it wasn't good. What seat are you sitting in? I mean, you said, I'm just going to get by as a Christian, and I'm just a Sunday morning kind of guy. I want to take all, I'm the kind of guy, give me all you can get. Amen. I'll take all you can get. Give it to me. I like preaching. I like serving the Lord. I tell you, I've had more fun serving God.
Amen.
If I told you some things I've been into as a Christian, you'd laugh your heads off, but what chair are you sitting in? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I preached this at a camp. When I preached this at a camp, we went to eat afterwards. And why is it that the teenagers, the kids, we went down to eat and we came back and I was passing the tabernacle. And there was kids lined up all the way up to this chair. And they were waiting for the kid in front of them to finish praying. There was kids up there praying at that chair saying, God, I want to sit in this chair. God, I want to be here. I want you to be first. I didn't see no adults. You know, they say, oh, you can't teach old dog new tricks. But old dog better learn.
Amen.
Old dog better learn. Why? Because you're affecting that next generation.
Right. Amen.
What you do in life is affecting that generation. And those kids will sit there. If you sit right there, if you're sitting in that chair, it's just, you know, God and me and all that of carnality. That generation over here is saying, hypocrites. I don't want nothing to do with that. I understand why kids are leaving the church, because they see so much hypocritical stuff. I understand it. Where are you sitting at this morning? All the way through your Bible, you find David. David was a man after God's own heart. I preached about David last night. Why God liked David. Man, David sat over here. He even judged himself when he sinned. And Solomon came along. Solomon, you know what the difference between Solomon and David? I'll tell you what the difference was. It was in here. You know what the difference in that two generations? It was in there. David was, God is everything. Solomon was started out, yeah, God is everything, but I'll tell you what, I like them women. I like people praising me. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave it to him. The wisest man. I mean, you tell folks, you think about it, after we know the story, it's easy to figure it out. But Solomon had, here he was, king of Israel, and they bring two women in, they got a little baby, and Solomon's sitting there, he's a young man, and he's sitting there, and they bring this baby up, and they said, the woman says, I went to sleep, I had my baby in my bosom there, and she came and stole my baby. Her baby died, and she put her dead baby in my lap, and this is what happened. How would you judge that if you didn't know the story? How would you judge that? And Solomon's in predicament, man. Whose baby is this? What woman's telling the truth? And then Solomon says, hey, bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. Man, what a wild thing. Bring me a sword. And Solomon gets up and takes that sword and says, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just cut the baby in half and give you half and give you half. And the mother says, no, let her have it. That's how he knew.
Yeah.
But Solomon, man, somewhere down the line there, fell away from God.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had a son named Rehoboam. Guess what Rehoboam did? He split the kingdom.
Yeah.
Takes three generations. Three generations. See, you better off to try to get as far from that chair as you possibly can and stay close to God and put the Lord first. In the New Testament, the Bible tells you this. Take your Bible, look over in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians real quick. Look in 1 Corinthians. You know what this crowd does? This crowd right here carries a Bible. I can't stand to see people not carry a Bible to church. Why? Because, you said, well, I trust the preacher. Yeah, but you never should trust anybody when it comes to the Word of God. You look in that book. Get that Bible. And see, and my children went to a church. They said, Dad, we went to a church down in Florida. He said, nobody carried a Bible. They came in, and the preacher got up and said this. He said, I'm not going to preach to you. And if I was there, I would have said, sit down, shut up, man. We ain't going to hear anything you got to say. If you're not going to preach, the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe.
Amen.
Preaching is important in a Christian's life.
Amen.
Preaching the Word of God. So my kids said, Dad, we had a Bible. They looked at us like we were strange carrying a Bible. I believe you ought to have a Bible. You ought to carry a Bible. Now, I realize if you've just gotten saved and everything, but we've got some people who just got saved. They're carrying a Bible. Not on your phone. You say, well, I got my Bible on. People tell me, I read my Bible on the phone. I say, take your Bible with you and read it. So, you know what? It's like carrying a .45. You carry a Bible. Man, you start carrying a Bible, people look at you like, oh, my Lord, what has he got? They think you got a .45 in your hand. That Bible is effective. Very effective. I'm talking about the King James, man. Man, that Bible is something else. And, you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter, this is New Testament now. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look here. That same principle throughout the whole Bible. Same thing. It says, Paul says this. And go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2 and verse 14. I know I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to get the thing done. Chapter 2, verse 14. He says, the natural man. Check this out. I've had people tell me, I never get nothing from the church services. I don't get nothing. I said, well, let me ask you something. Are you reading your Bible yourself on your own? And then I find out, no. Do you pray only when I need something? They don't talk to God at all. They don't spend time. What a shame for a Christian that's saved, bought with a price, washed in the blood, that doesn't pray and doesn't read a Bible. Because the Bible tells you that that Bible is your food.
Yeah.
It's got milk. It's got vegetables. It's got meat. You can't take a steak, and when a baby's born, these ladies didn't have babies, you can't take a steak and say, eat it, get me out of here. They're choked to death. But the Bible's got milk in it. When I first got saved, I remember I said, Lord, help me read this book. I want to learn how to read. I want to learn how to read. I want to read. And my wife would help me read. I started reading. Now I can read five times faster than she can. I wanted to grow. I wanted to know. That Bible's got milk in it. I start drinking that milk. Milk's good for the bones. Vegetables. You know, my wife would grind up. She'd grind up them vegetables. I watch women when they have a little baby. They grind up the vegetables and they take that little spoon. And then when the child is able to do it, and they go, they always do this. They always go. They open their mouth. Oh. It's like, watch me. Oh. You know what I'm doing this morning? Watch me. Oh. Oh. That's what the preacher does. Oh. Because some of y'all don't read your Bible. You know what happens if your child doesn't grow? You know, say if you had a baby, and the baby never grew, just never grew. You would run that baby to children's hospital. And you said, something's wrong. You know what happens to a child of God that doesn't grow? Something's wrong.
Right.
They call it retarded. I know that's not proper now. Mentally challenged. We got a lot of mentally challenged Christians because they don't read the Bible. My wife would grind up the meat. She'd grind up the meat. My son Samson, when he was a baby, man, I'll never forget. I went down to Pensacola and was trying to get a place to live and trying to go, and I couldn't find work. I'd go down to the docks and I'd stand at the fence where the boats come in and they pick guys to work. And I got a little money, and I'll never forget, we were staying with another family, and we bought, and I was the only one working because everybody got sick, and I had a loaf of bread in the house. My son Samson, he would love to eat. He eat. And these guys know Samson can eat. And man, we woke up the next morning, we had a loaf of bread, half a loaf of bread. He ate the whole thing. That's all the food we had. He ate the whole thing. Man, God wants you to eat. He wants you to grow. And you can't get spiritual bones if you're not reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by what?
Yeah.
Come on now, faith cometh by what?
Yeah.
You need to be in church every time the door's open.
Yeah.
If you can. So I got all the things that are more important. Yeah, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out those things that you didn't amount to nothing. I'm a mechanic. I'm a roofer. I'm a jack of all trades. When I go home, I got things to fix. I got cars to fix. I got a building to fix. I got all kinds of stuff to do. I like doing that stuff. But when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to putting the Lord first, it's going to go first every time.
Amen.
Lord, helping me. I want to stay in this chair. I don't want to be that God in me chair. I don't want to be this carnality. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. And this then create a generation of grandkids that don't appreciate the Lord, don't love God. They're going to see this old man go crazy about God. Lord's good. Look at this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. See that thing? The Spirit of God. Natural man, he don't understand that. A natural man says, what is everybody getting all excited about? What is everybody all happy about? Why is the Bible so important? What is church so important for? Natural man. That's a lost man. You lost in here? You say, well, I'm saved. But then you never grew. You're just a retarded little baby. You never grew. You say, I'm saved. I didn't want to be that.
Amen.
Even though I couldn't read, I wanted to grow.
Amen.
I want to know. Dr. Rubin took time and tutored me. I was sitting in class and I was in advanced theology. 300 students in there. I'm sitting in the back. And Doc's teaching. He looks back up at me and I'm just sitting there going, like that. He said, hey, Brother Rodman, you getting this? I said, you got to be kidding. He said, well, I'll be over half Friday night. That man took time to teach me, tutor me, and help me. I wanted to learn, but I didn't understand. He said, you understand everything in the Bible? No, I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take the preacher's word for it. I wanted to know. Look at this. Natural man receives not the things of Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. If you think serving God is foolish, reading the Bible is foolish, singing praises to God is foolish, something wrong with you.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, because they are spiritually discerned. Now look on down. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Now look at this, chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul writes this to the church of Corinth. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. He said, I couldn't talk to you like you were spiritual. You didn't, because a lot of times you tell people, I never forget, man, I was sitting in church, and the preacher, I finally, the teenagers, they had 170-some teenagers in this church where I got saved. And I sat in the back, and they were all writing notes to each other. I'm glad to see the kids sitting up here. And, And they would all write notes to each other. Now they got cell phones. They can text each other and all kinds of stuff. But, man, I sat back there and I thought, shut up! They were talking to me. I said, shut up. And I finally moved to the front. He said, when the preacher said, open to the book of Job. And I looked at him and said, job. I said, I got a job. And I had to have people. You talk about embarrassing. I'm embarrassed that I couldn't read. I'm embarrassed I couldn't write. When that preacher showed me how to get saved that night, that former president of Hell's Angels, he had a Bible. I'm sitting in a chair. He goes, read that right there. I said, you read it. Because I couldn't. He said, you know you're a sinner? I said, I know that. He said, you know you're on your way to hell? I said, I know that. I wanted to read. I wanted to know. How about you? Can't train an old dog new tricks? Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. There's nothing wrong with babies. I love babies. I love to see people get saved and they become little babies in Christ, but I love to see them grow.
Yeah, amen.
I let the kids run around the church. My wife's always yelling, don't run! Don't run! She's the meanie. I'm the good guy. She's always yelling at them. And I got candy in my office. They all know that. And they, man, right after church, like a whole bunch of kids runs my office because I got candy in my office. They know where it's at. And they said, you're ruining our children's teeth and everything. I said, I'm their supplier, man. What do you expect? I'm their dealer. That's what I do. I'm their dealer. And the kids, if I ain't got food, if I don't have candy in there, they come back out and look at me like. So I make sure I got candy in there. Lollipops and, you know, all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, where are you at this morning? What chair are you sitting in? Look at this. Look on down. He said, I could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, as on the babes in Christ. Are you a baby? That's fine if you just got saved, but don't stay a baby.
Amen.
Don't stay a baby. Faith coming by what?
Hearing
by the word of God. Let me ask you something. What chair? This chair represents God. I put the Lord first. I watched my son get run over by a car. I took the church. I told the story, I think, the other night. I don't know where I told what. I took the church up there. And the chief of police daughter got married. And my little boy, Josh, got run over by a lady. I did tell it here the other night. Because a lady asked me what happened to my son. He was 18 months old, got ran over by a car. A girl sang in the wedding. Drove off and ran over him. I watched the whole thing. I pushed the car off him. Blood ran out of his ears, out of his mouth, out of his nose. Ribs sticking out. To make a long story short, I held him up with blood running down. I walked down the hallway, down my driveway. And I held him up. And in my heart, my wife was crying, my kids were crying. And the preacher that was there crying. Everybody was screaming out, crying. Thank God. I didn't say a word. I held him up. And in my heart, I was saying, God, I know I deserve this, but have mercy on me.
Yeah.
I deserve anything I get. Our house burnt down. We lost everything. No insurance. Lost everything. You know what? Every time, God intervened. My wife called me up from the hospital. I'm laying in bed. I got home about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I forget what time it was. The girl that ran over him was still at the house. And a bunch of people was at the house. I just took the church. I just first, you know, week to pastor. First week. And I remember the phone rang. And so I said, your wife's on the phone. I jumped out of bed and I fell to the floor. I couldn't walk. I don't know what happened. I'm a roofer, I've never had really back problems. I carry shingles. And I remember crawling to the phone, and my wife said, he's gone. He's gone. And I'm trying to comfort her. I'm saying, it's going to be all right. God's going to take care of it. It's going to be fine. He was our fifth child. I said, it's going to be fine. The Lord's going to take care of it. And I'm trying to comfort her. And she said, no, you don't understand. He's gone. I said, I understand. He's gone. I understand. She goes, no, somebody stole him.
I said, what? She said, somebody stole him. They can't find him. They had the hospital locked down. Man, the nurses running everywhere, trying to find, they called the police. She calls me back. She said, they ran by a toy room. And there he was in the toy room. He looked like a little demon, had blood in his eyes. Man, his head swelled up. He had pulled all the stuff off of him out of his crib, pulled everything off, and went to the hospital, found the toy room, went in there and was playing. She called me back. She said, he was in the toy room. He pulled everything. I thought somebody took him because she was asleep right beside him. I brought her home on Monday. The doctor said, we can't do anything. His rib's sticking out. The blood clear from his eyes. His head was swelled, go down. It hadn't swelled, going down yet. But and I brought him home, and the state trooper came to my house. And he's writing a report. And he's sitting down at the table, and he's writing all the report, when time had happened, this and that. And then he looked at me. He says, I don't want to ask you this, but what time did he die? I said, sir, he didn't die. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. Is he still in the hospital? I said, no, that's him right there playing. He jumped up. The state trooper went, that's a miracle, man. That's a miracle. I said, I know. I know it's a miracle. He said, man, all reports said he was dead. I said, I got a God in heaven. God took care of it. Boy, I tell you what. It ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. What chair are you in this morning? There's a spiritual man, there's a carnal man, and there's a natural man. Three generations go away from God. The way you conduct yourself is good. You're passing the heritage down to your children and your children's children. What generation are you in? Are you going to put God first? Or are you just going to live in the convenience of being saved, know you're going to heaven, and never really standing for God. And you're raising that next generation. Where are you at this morning? Father, I thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, that we have these examples in the Word of God. And I pray, oh God, help us none of, all of us are hypocrites in some way. We all are. But I pray, oh God, that we wouldn't be hypocritical when it comes to you, putting you first in our lives, and God honoring you with everything we have. And Lord, I pray, oh God, you'd help my brothers and sisters, help Faith Baptist Church here in Washington State to be real. And God, I pray that souls would be saved and people would be encouraged. The saints of God would sit in that chair that love you first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that we have need of. Everybody says, well, I got to work a job, Lord. I got to do this. I got to make money. But you put God first, you take care of all that. I've seen you do it over and over again. Help my brothers and sisters this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You need to come this morning. Let's all stand to our feet.